U248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Severe weather impacting people from coast to coast. We begin with twisters in Chicago. Here's CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
The National Weather Service says one tornado touched down near O'Hare Airport. That's where Indianapolis CBS TV affiliate reporter Hannah Fullman was on a plane waiting to take off for London.
The flight attendant came on and said, "We're ready to go. We're going to try to beat the weather." And she was really excited about it. And then 2 minutes later, she came back on kind of a little panicked and said, "Everyone get your belongings. We need to get off the plane immediately," and it was just a rush.
The heat is on in the Southwest, and now California is bracing for some sweltering temps. National Weather Service meteorologist Courtney Carpenter.
Very hot and dangerous temperatures in the triple digits are forecast for the Central Valley, bringing major to locally extreme heat-related impacts for inland and southern regions. Little relief will occur overnight this weekend as temperatures remain in the 70s and lower 80s overnight.
Hollywood could come to a screeching halt. Thousands of actors may be joining writers on the picket lines after its contract with the major Hollywood studios is about to expire.
SAG has been there from the beginning on the picket lines. Like, I am a captain at Netflix, and they were there day one. So they've set up their booths. They've been supporting. They've been walking with us.
SAG-AFTRA is demanding higher pay in the streaming TV era, plus safeguards around the use of artificial intelligence. If they can't reach a last-ditch deal in the next hour, actors will walk off the job. The United Auto Workers is also prepared to hit the picket line.
UAW President Sean Fain already threatening strikes if the union doesn't win back cost of living increases and pensions, things given up during tough times. Fain even skipping the handshake that traditionally marks the start of the talks.
I'm not shaking hands with any CEOs until they do right by our members.
Carmakers say they're spending billions to move to EVs and also facing new competitors with much lower labor costs. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
After the NATO summit wrapped in Lithuania, the president traveled to Finland, where he'll continue to rally support for Ukraine. He's scheduled to meet with the leaders of four Nordic countries on Thursday. LeBron James will play for the LA Lakers next season after all. He made the announcement at the ESPYs, where he accepted the record-breaking performance award for becoming the NBA's career scoring leader. James had said at the end of last season, if you remember, that he just wasn't sure if he would be coming back or not. He is. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
The Rick Smith Show. Where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies overnight with a low of 56. Northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Highs level off around 81. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 60. Partly cloudy skies. Mid-80s Friday and Saturday with storms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
It's Peck and Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
This is a scam, and Tucker Carlson is one of the guys. He's one of the guys who said the election was stolen, Dominion voting machines are no good, on the air, but in the background, he's going, this is insane. This is a load of bull. The guy lies for a living. He lies with a straight face.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Is that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways. A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bride does not believe in friendship. I don't allow them to compliment me back because I can't take a compliment.
I like your beard.
Shut up. I'm leaving right now.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
All right. Have you ever been hazed? 844-967-2789. Or has someone you know gone through hazing? Why does hazing, despite... it feels like at least once a year, there is some story that comes out as far as a kid dying because they've drank too much or they've gone through some kind of hazing scenario that creates a very serious health situation. And yet, it's still in fraternities and in sports teams persists. It still is here, and we're hearing about it once again this week with everything that's going down at Northwestern. And if you haven't heard this story, the head coach of Northwestern University's football team has been fired following an investigation into allegations of hazing among members on the team. And this was announced on Monday. And prior to that, Coach Pat Fitzgerald was suspended for 2 weeks without pay. But then, and what's crazy about this story so far is that there was like an internal investigation for 6 months that didn't find enough or found enough that Coach Pat Fitzgerald was suspended. But then it was the investigative journalism of the Northwestern newspaper that came out that has now escalated him to being fired. And I'm less interested in talking about the nuances of Northwestern and everything that's happening there, because I think it's still an unraveling story. I heard things this morning that there's people who are calling it a hit job on Fitzgerald potentially, but I think I'm just more interested in the psychology of like, why are we still doing this? How is this still a rite of passage for so many, let's say it, mostly men's organizations, whether it's fraternities or sports teams? And that's not to say that I know I have friends who are, you know, girls who were in sororities where there was kinds of hazing, or sports teams that there is kinds of hazing, but it's still more violent and aggressive in my experience of stories when it comes to men's organizations. And I'm not asking you to defend it, but I'm assuming that, especially because I know that we have a fair amount of male listeners, of why does it continue to be a thing? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. How does hazing continue to be a thing in all these different organizations. And we got Greg Bach on the board today.
Hello.
I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask anyways. Have you ever been part of an organization where there was hazing?
What do you think your answer is?
I would think no.
No, it's true.
Yeah, I would think that. Knowing you, and granted, I don't know what you were like when you were in high school or in your early 20s.
I love the theater.
But I can't imagine you putting up with a scenario where you were opting into getting abused. In one way
honestly,
or another.
If it was in high school and grade school, yeah, that probably would have been the thing. I probably would have done it.
You probably would have done it?
Yeah.
Just because, to be accepted?
To be accepted, to not ruffle feathers, to do the whole thing. I mean, yeah. And also back in my day, that we were talking like the 80s and the 90s, and we didn't call it hazing, I think, back then. We just called it roughhousing or boys will be boys.
Well, is it that, though? Because to me, when I think of hazing, it is ceremonial.
Yeah.
It is, like, I've never been hazed. I've never been, I mean, the most has been, I was the only sophomore on my varsity girls basketball team, and I think I got the short end of the stick sometimes as far as them, like, teasing me. But there was nothing ceremonial about it. There wasn't, like, a rite of passage to it.
Yeah.
And that's when I think of hazing, I think of every class has to go through XYZ thing.
Yeah.
And specifically two past boyfriends of mine, I know the most details about their hazing for their fraternities. And and it becomes this, like, if you make it through, it becomes a badge of honor.
Yeah. You're worthy.
You're worthy.
You've
shared this experience with the alumni who've come before you, and you will share this experience with the classes underneath you, and you have these stories that you can share together of the time that, you know, in one of the stories, I have lots of that I was told that did not happen to me, but, you know, there was one that they have to eat a plate of spaghetti, that each plate of spaghetti has an entire tin of chew mashed up into it.
That's disgusting and unhealthy and no.
And so, but like, this has happened for decades. Or a different scenario was the freshman class or the incoming class of this fraternity gets left in the basement of the fraternity with 3 inches of water on the ground and then blasting music, which is a form of torture that literally has been used as torture all night to make them stay up for 24 hours straight, where it's just on repeat, no sleep till Brooklyn. That line again and again and again and again and again and again. And like, they joke about it. I remember these boyfriends and their friends like joking about it once they've made it through. But it's like, how have we not evolved past this yet?
Well, also the question I have is when your past boyfriends joked about this, did they show any sign of like, yeah, that was messed up too,
though? No.
Yeah. See.
I don't know if now, because this was when talking about it, this was, you know, when I dated these guys, it was a while ago. And so they were still pretty close to it.
Yeah.
Because one was still in college when I was dating them, and one was not so far out of college and still was like very much pining for the days of college because he hated law school. But like, they certainly didn't look back on it being like, I regret doing that. And so that's the part of me that's like, is that why this continues to exist? Is there's enough alumni or enough of the... Well, I survived. I'm better for it. It was a bonding experience that it's still not only tolerated, but like, I don't know, maybe in some circles celebrated.
Oh, I'm sure it's celebrated in some circles. And I bet you the more they celebrate it, the darker the initiation it is. Because you have to be a certain kind of person to be like, that was awesome. Spaghetti and chew.
844-967-2789. I would love to hear from you on your experiences with hazing, whether it's yours firsthand or things that happened at your university or sports teams, and any, you know, kind of wrapping your head around it as far as being an adult and looking back on it, and just what is the purpose of it? What value does it? It obviously creates some kind of value for the people who, for a lot of the people who go through it, that it continues to persist, and that there is not a, there is not more of a desire to end the cycle with each class that goes through it. And then when they become the people who could induct the next class, say, maybe we should stop, or maybe we should change this, or maybe there's a more fun, less violent, less hazardous way to initiate freshmen, whether it's on a sports team or in a fraternity. I think those are the two main things.
This sounds like woke America, Kristen, just trying to take away our traditions.
But is that, but I'm trying to, I think that's part of it. It's like, well, if you can't go through it, like this, everyone, this, people are too soft now.
Yeah. No, this isn't a matter of softness. This is a matter of just human dignity and kindness. And also, yeah, finding a way of doing things that just, there are a bunch of ways you can put people through a test and they can be fun and funny and maybe a little embarrassing too, but they're not going to like, they're not going to make the next generation go, we have to do this to these people now? What is wrong with us?
Like, I'm trying to think of, in when I was in college, my girlfriends played, I forgot if it was the girls' volleyball team or the girls' soccer team. But, like, the freshmen had to, like, dress up. Like, they got to dress the freshmen and go to some party.
Yeah.
And so it was, like, costumes and fake mustaches. And I'm sure there was a fair amount of drinking involved. But not like, oh, you have to finish, like, a liter of vodka before you can leave the house. And so there was some stuff that feels like you kind of get embarrassed. But it's the stuff that passes over into being hit, being sexually assaulted, being having to drink or do some kind of like drug that could like actually put your life in danger. Mm-hmm. Because it's just, you know, and especially when you think of Northwestern, and granted, none of these schools should get a pass, but I don't know, especially in Big Ten schools, like you think of Northwestern as kind of this, one of the more hoity-toity places. And to hear, because it's, the allegations are pretty aggressive of what they were doing on the football team to freshmen, as far as like nudity and like dry humping. And now, obviously, there's allegations that the coaching staff knew and it was allowed to persist.
Well, also just because Northwestern, Big Ten school, also reputation, also branding, also all the things, you're like, we know you want to do this, but you cannot do this anymore because it threatens the livelihood of this school and the funding. I mean, not even from a purely like humane point of view, from a bottom line point of view, saying if you do this and you get caught, this puts us in the newspapers and we have to deal with this and you're the cause of this problem. So just knock it off.
Because it's also, you know, it's also, we gotta go to a break. But we would love to hear from you on your feelings about the pattern and the history of hazing and why we continue to let it persist. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Would love to hear your thoughts on not only the Northwestern case, but just the concept of hazing in general. I'm Kristen Bry, he's Greg Bach, and this is As Goes Wisconsin.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It's new. Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies expected overnight with lows around 54. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 78. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows around 62. Partly cloudy. Mid-80s Friday, upper 80s by Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute on 540 AM WAUK.
Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. We've got Greg Bach on the board today. Jane is out for the day, taking a well-deserved break. And we're talking loosely about what's been happening at Northwestern. If you have not heard, there is another hazing scandal basically happening, this time with the Northwestern football team. The head football coach, Pat Fitzgerald, has been fired over it with allegations that he knew. But a lot of the allegations, I mean, like the was actually investigated by the Daily Northwestern, which is the newspaper there, where the allegations are of sexual assault. And there's thing called running where the team, like if you, the freshman who made a mistake on during practice, during a game would get run on, which I guess it was included like clapping above their head. And then basically like they would get dry humped by the upperclassmen aggressively, and they had things called runs giving and like Shrek's List. And it just, it sounds bad. And so this was all under two different players who talked to the Daily Northwestern, but remained anonymous, and trying to elevate the conversation beyond just the case of Northwestern, because it's still a developing story of just talking about hazing in general. And I don't know if this is a uniquely American thing, but I have a feeling maybe our next caller can tell us at least if it's a Russian thing. Karina, how you doing?
Hi, I'm okay. Thank you so much for asking. I think it's more of a tribal, almost like the ancient Vikings or Greeks, Spartans. I mean, I know that now, in Russia, we have everybody going to army and the male population at 18. So you have, like, an active army all the time, like a whole country basically belongs to some sort of the military division. And they do have a hazing, and it's ridiculous because that includes all kind of abuse. And I think absolutely it's part of the bullying that kind of like legalized almost a bullying under supervision and allowed to abuse each other. And then tattoos, and then you know, even in America and other army, you have a sign, a like metal kind of like a you know, thinks what they put on the uniform. They would take that and actually fit it into your body, so you will have scars in the form of that specific military whatever thing is. So I think it's very wild, not good wild, and very primitive, and a brotherhood kind of thing, and very, very male thing to do.
It is a very male thing to do. It's interesting to hear that this, it's something that is not uniquely American, that it's something that, at least with you're saying in Russia, was is certainly more male than it is cultural.
Right. We never, like you said, even if in the colleges we have some clubs and groups and houses for girls, then it was always more of a fun, yeah, maybe getting drunk and dressed up like some sort of theme, which was, because we didn't really have Halloween in Russia at the mm-hmm. time. So it more of a symbolistic and almost kind of like a gathering circle, drums, whatever it is, more kind of bonding experience than bonding through insulting each other. You know,
yeah.
it's very male.
Yeah. There's psychological warfare that happens between women, which is a little different than what happens.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks so much for the call, Karina. That's super interesting to hear. And because it's interesting, because so I looked this up. So hazing is a felony offense in 14 states. In Virginia and 29 other states, it's a misdemeanor, and 6 states don't have any anti-hazing laws on the books. I'd have to look up if Wisconsin is one of those 6 or where we fall under hazing laws. But if you think about it, so now if a majority of states have passed some kind of laws that are anti-hazing, but between a felony or a misdemeanor, and the stark minority have nothing on the books, there's a collective decision that we've decided that hazing is bad. It is bad for society.
We say it.
We say it. And yet, each year, there is another one of these stories. And I just don't know how, like, what needs to happen to make it socially unacceptable for sports teams, fraternities, and I guess the handful of women's organizations that also do more aggressive, violent, hazardous hazing, and to evolve out of this? Or is it just part of our tribal nature of initiation, and that there is, but despite rules at universities, despite laws, like state laws, where there's a will, there's a way?
I mean, is it the question, and I'm sorry for being dark about this, but does someone have to die?
People have died.
I mean, like, now, though, like, you know what I mean? Like, in have we seen anything recently showing people dying from hazing in, like, the past 1 to 2 years?
Oh, yeah. In February, I have it right up here. This is in Virginia. February 26, 2021, first-year Virginia Commonwealth University student Adam Oakes died from alcohol poisoning at a fraternity pledge party.
Okay, well, that answers that question,
like,
folks.
I would say I can probably look it up at the break, because we're coming up against a break right now. But I would not be surprised if I could pretty quickly find death or hospitalizations from hazing annually. Yeah. So I'll look that up. And when we come back, we would still love to hear from you if you have thoughts or experiences with hazing, and theories as to why it is still a thing. 844-967-2789. Would love to hear from you. 844-96-PARTY. And we also got the good, the bad, and we knew it was too good to be true of headlines. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This summer, 5-4.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies overnight with a low of 56. Northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow, highs level off around 81. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 60. Partly cloudy skies. Mid-80s Friday and Saturday with storms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
So every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Jane is out, and we were talking about the topic of hazing in light of everything that's happening at Northwestern this week. If you are unaware, the head coach of the football team has been fired over allegations that he knew of hazing that was happening on the football team that involved sexual assault. And I'm less interested in talking about the details of that case because I think it's still a developing story, but more in the persistence of this tradition across so many universities, whether it's fraternities, sororities, sports. and why we're still doing it. And I do have some stats, but I know that we have a call.
Yes, we do.
David from Mequon, what say you on the topic of hazing?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Really quickly, I'll just use the University of Wisconsin-Madison. It's prevalent like you cannot believe. My best friend has two daughters that go to UW currently. And it's been part of the culture for a long time. All you have to do is, and even in the military, if you look at the Marine Corps, that is very prevalent, even today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff going on there. It's been a part. I hate to say it, but that is part of the culture that we've had in this country for a long, long, long time, well before you and I were even born.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, and I'll be honest with you, so I went to the University of Minnesota, and I was joining a fraternity, and some of the stuff that you have to go through was just crazy, but it was part of a badge of honor, if you want to call
mm-hmm.
it. And one of those things I'll just mention really quickly is, sometimes it does go to the extreme, and then you do have that where that individual dies, be it a guy or a girl or whatever, and then it's like, oh, my God, and then you think things are going to change. It doesn't. You go to spring break. If you saw some of the things going on in spring break when I went to spring break, you would be like, oh, my God, flabbergasted. I mean, it's not going away. That is just a part of, what we've had going on for all this time. The difference is, how far is that going to go? And unfortunately, it can go too far where you do end up with a death, but I don't see it changing anytime soon. And like I said, if you go to Halloween in Madison, it's out of control. It's just out of control. The stuff that goes on. You don't have to. It's prevalent. That's all I'm saying. It's here. Kids do it. When I was younger, I did some dumb things. Back at that age, and you grow up. It's kind of like a circle of life, unfortunately.
Well, I guess the question is like, knowing that now, how do we who have been through that take prominent steps to stop it? You can't stop everything. That's of course. You're not stopping medicine Halloween,
right.
But that's changed over time.
And it has changed. And the question I asked, and the thing I said before in the last segment, someone has to die. I know people have died from it, but I'm saying like in today's day and age, in 2023, say if it was a student at Northwestern who died, would that make even a bit of difference now?
And I think, thanks so much for the call, David. And I think no, because I did look this up at the break, and at least one U.S. school club organization hazing death has been reported every year since 1959 until 2021.
Okay, well, thank you. God.
That is one or more deaths a year each year from 1959 to 2021. There's been no deaths. There was no deaths in 2022, I don't think there's been any deaths in 2023 so far, but to answer your question, no, it doesn't. It seems not to matter. And then
it's a big negative.
I found this general statistics. That's a combination of stuff from insidehazing.com, hazingprevention.org, and hazingstudy.org. More than half of college students are involved in some sort of campus hazing. In 95% of hazing cases, students who were aware they were hazed did not report it. So 95%.
Jeez.
In 25% of hazing cases, coaches or advisors who are aware of hazing incidents did not report it. For every 10 students being hazed, only one of them realizes they've been hazed. In more than half of hazing incidents, a member of the offending group posts pictures on the public web space. Students are more likely to be hazed if they knew an adult who was hazed, which I think is interesting.
Like normalizing the behavior,
mm-hmm.
maybe? Oh, my gosh.
82% of deaths from hazing involve alcohol. And the first recorded incident of hazing involves sexual abuse occurred in 1983 Other hazing incidents involving sexual intimidation, nudity, or simulation have been increasing in their frequency since 1995. So it's prevalent.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have another, we had a text on the line that I think kind of, I don't know, this is from Ross in Crawford County. I think hazing is a way for members of a group to filter people who they want in that group. But I think it's that, but I think it's more of, I think it just comes back to this. I went through it, and this is like, and I don't know, maybe it's because you're young enough where that retribution mindset is still prevalent. It's like, well, I went through it, so why would I be the one to stop? Like, why should you get off the hook?
Well, I guess the question is, if you don't care, you don't care. You're going to keep on doing it. But there, you know, in all the fraternities and all the sororities and all the sports teams, you know, there's at least 5,000 people who did the exact same thing that happened to them. And in their head going, I don't want to do this. I hate this. I can't say anything because these are my brothers. These are my sisters. These are my teammates.
Well, and I want to be part of this group.
Yeah, I'm not going to be the one to ruin the tradition of feeding people pasta with chewing tobacco.
I can't get over that one.
That is in my head for now. That is going to be part of my dreams.
That's still the one that sticks out to me. There was others that, you know, but I remember distinctly that all, you know, everything that they did wasn't random, right? There was no, this is the specific fraternity for that. It was everything they did dated back to like World War II of that fraternity.
Yeah.
And so there was very much the tradition of it. And that if you ever met an alumni of that fraternity, you all knew you went through the same thing. So there wasn't we just get to do whatever we want to because you're a freshman and we get to make up traditions on the spot. Yeah. It was things that were specific and that I think is part of it of like, this is what we do. And it just comes back to that badge of honor. But there's also, and like, it makes me think of that famous social experiment of when they split up the two groups. I think this was at Stanford.
Experience. That sounds like speaking of Disney. Oh, God. Disney goes dark.
But it's like the aptitude for people when they're given any sort of permission or power to abuse that power so quickly and get off on it and having, because I think there's things that we never think we would do until you're given permission to do it.
I mean, you asked the question at the top of the show for me, and yeah, if I was in my 20s or younger, I probably would have taken it for various reasons, whether it was to belong, to not cause a scene, to Midwestern nice, believe it or not. But I just like looking at myself now, when in my 30s and 40s, someone like, hey, eat this fettuccine with skull. I'd be like, you can take that and stick it where the sun don't shine. And I'll tell everyone, and I don't care a tinker's cuss about it. Who knows?
Well, it is. I mean, I'm sure this case will continue to unravel, I'm sure, as we hear more about it. But I don't think it should be treated as an isolated incident, because when you read these stats, it is clearly something that is happening across the board, regardless of state laws, regardless of school rules.
Yeah.
That is a deeper seated, I don't know, I don't want to say human experience, but if it's this pervasive across college campuses, because it does this happen in like work scenarios? Like, I'm trying to think of other organizations or like outside of schools.
I mean,
like where this persists, and the military,
Let's call hazing what it really is. It's bullying. It might be for a short amount of time, but my guess is the guy who's making you drink a liquid you shouldn't drink, or stand in a 3 inches of water listening to Beastie Boys blast, isn't going to be your best friend after this. He's probably going to be.
But they are.
But they're also tools.
That simplifies it so much, because truly, I know some of these guys who put each other through this and then are literally in each other's weddings and best friends for life.
But I'm saying is also there that thing of like, you know, hey, you know, like the busting chops can go too far. You know what I mean? Like the way, and I'm talking specifically from a guy's point of view, how we think showing affection and love should come through, you know, degradation and
humiliation,
quasi-violent yeah. acts. You know, I mean, that's how we roll, Kristen, because we can't share and express feelings. It's hard.
That is hard.
It is tough. Well, it's not tough. No, I'll tell anyone what I'm thinking. I got feelings for days, baby.
All right. Well, we have a couple of minutes, so we'll run through some of these headlines quickly for the good, the bad, and the we knew it was too good to be true. The good, I think. It's, you know, but the Biden administration is cracking down on junk health insurance. So President Biden is cracking down on, quote, junk health insurance plans that exploit Americans in states like Wisconsin, specifically with short-term plans that often limit coverage, deny coverage based on pre-existing conditions, and trick consumers into buying products that provide little or to no coverage when they actually need it. So, you know, it's a step forward.
I love that's the goal, baby. With a step forward.
There's one more less, you know, maybe getting rid of one more option that you can sign up for that sounds appealing sometimes because it's less expensive than another plan. But then when you actually get sick, it's like, oh, now I'm $40,000 in debt.
Yeah, but you know, some senator from Utah is going to be like, well, we're stepping on business. We're stepping on freedom of business. People should be able to buy whatever health insurance they want. If they want a health insurance with a gun, they can get a health insurance with a gun. No one from Utah sounds like that.
But so that's our good news. The bad news, which I actually want to get someone in here to talk to about this more because it feels like a really big deal. But yesterday WPR published an article. This was Monday. Wisconsin senior living facilities see increase in complaints to DHS. And I feel like that headline doesn't actually even, it's an understatement of how bad this problem is, mm-hmm. as far as the fact that there is, like so many other industries, a worker shortage in senior facilities. And so with less workers, less credentialed workers, the amount of complaints of lack of care is skyrocketing.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a story that deserves a lot more attention because I'm sure many of us know someone who is going to live in a facility or is already living in a facility and knowing what can be done to improve and recruit because mm-hmm. reading that story was eye-opening. All right, we'll get back to We Knew It Was Too Good to Be True after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
That's awesome.
Starting at 6 a.m., Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 5:40 a.m., WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee.
I know it. You're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendricks
Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 54 overnight under mainly cloudy skies. North winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, highs level off around 78. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows around 62, partly cloudy skies. Turning warmer Friday and Saturday with highs from the mid-80s to the upper 80s. Thunderstorms both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
As goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board today. And just to round out our the good, the bad, and the we knew it was too good to be true. We knew it was too good to be true. A month or so ago, we dove into Ozempic and other drugs that are very sought after right now because of weight loss. But this week... I'm saying this because I feel like it's important for people to were Ozempic curious to know that this week the European Medicines Agency, the EMA, said it's looking into the diabetes drug after three patients reported thoughts of suicide or self-harm while using the medication. Additionally, health regulators in Iceland flagged the cases, which also involved the weight loss treatment Sazenta. I think that's how you pronounce it, but the Z is actually an X. So, but in the past year, drugs like Ozempic have become popular for weight loss, despite the fact that that one specifically is for type 2 diabetes. And it's so much so that it's created shortages. But now the EU's regulators are investigating whether the active ingredients pose a risk of suicidal thoughts or self-harm to patients. At least in the U.S., the FDA has reportedly received at least 60 reports of suicidal thoughts in connection to these kinds of drugs from patients or their doctors. But the FDA reportedly hasn't verified those cases, which seems like maybe they should, because it's a big deal.
Get on that medicine.
Feels like you should get on that. And I think it goes back to kind of what the takeaway was the day that we were talking about this of... Are you considering taking Ozempic or Wegovy? I think the other one's Wegovy, because there's really new. It was just, you know, for the fact that so many people were jumping on this train when it feels like a pretty new drug and not knowing the cost-benefit analysis of taking something that has not been around for very long, even if the advantages are... rapid weight loss, but also, I mean, they were also saying this was when we were talking about it before, was the fact that there's also like people are seeing a curb in just addictive behaviors in general when they're taking this. Okay. So curbing drinking, curbing smoking, curbing shopping addictions, just that like impulsiveness in general. And so that was kind of like, oh, is this drug too good to be true? And now maybe it is because there is potential for some not so happy thoughts when you're taking it. So talk to your doctor is the big takeaway there.
And also, just so you know, Kristen and I are not doctors.
We are not doctors. But tomorrow we will have public service announcements again with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. I don't know if we'll talk about this. I feel like I've seen a bunch of different health related headlines this week that I'm excited to talk to her about. Didn't you find one about pooping?
I did find one about pooping. And can I also say, we were driving last week Thursday while you were talking to Dr. Lyerly, and I said to my mom, Mama Bach, and I, where I was like, oh, it's time for public service announcements. And she laughed. She goes, I like that.
We need to get some better, like, we need to figure out some branding to go along with that. I feel like there's can be, like, I want to get a little image that looks like a PSA, but then has, I don't know.
You can have a microphone in a strange shape. Not strange, but unusual.
A suggestive
unusual
shape.
Microphone yeah. shape, yeah.
So I feel like there's some work to be done on that segment as far as how we promote it. But speaking of health, mm-hmm. did you know that there's a blood shortage?
Absolutely. I do know
that. Did you know that?
I've always known that, as I have been donating blood for a long time.
So Civic Media is very excited to announce that we have a blood donation challenge starting. It's called Civic Pints. And if you donate blood anywhere in Wisconsin from July 10th, so this is already going,
yep.
to July 31st, and get you can get entered to win one of many prizes. And so if you've already donated, you can still submit your entry. And you can go to our nifty, very convenient landing page for this. So if you go to civicmedia.us/giveblood, it helps you find a place where you can make an appointment, and then you can submit your entry. And the tickets, we have the tickets listed out. So there's an opportunity to win one pair of tickets to a Brewers game, one pair of tickets to Wisconsin State Fair, one Civic Media swag pack. But in general, you can also just
Donate.
You already donated, right?
I donated yesterday. So here's the thing that sucks. Okay. I donated, but now that I work for this company,
you can't win.
I can't win anything. I can just feel good about giving. Ugh. No, I did what's called dual red. That's when you donate two units at once, do it every 16 weeks. And they won it. And honestly, the guy, Doug, at the Versiti Center that I went to in Kenosha, asked me to say this on the air.
Okay.
He said that only 3% of eligible people donate blood.
Wow.
If every single eligible person who could donate blood donated once a year, there would never be a shortage.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been donating blood on and off for a very, very long time, and I never knew that stat, and it blew my mind.
Why do you think it's just because, I mean, I guess I've donated blood a couple times in the last couple years, and is it just because it's not top of mind for people?
It's not.
It doesn't feel like that hard.
It's not hard. I mean, I'm sure there's legit people who are like, needles, no thank you, blood, no thank you. And for me, like, I donated solid for like 7-8 years, and then I just stopped. He's like, oh, the last time you donated was 2015. I'm like, no. And that's the last time I donated. And I was actually kind of ashamed because I donated. I was an every 8-week person.
Wow.
Yeah. But well, get out there.
So now you can do it again, but you can only do it once a month.
No. You do it. You can only donate at once every 8 weeks for a regular.
Eight weeks.
And then what I did was dual red, which is a little bit more involved. I can only do it once every 16 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, as a reminder, and we'll probably keep reminding you daily of this, but you can give blood anywhere in Wisconsin, and then when you take a selfie of yourself, that's what a selfie is, donating blood, and you post that picture using hashtag Civic Pints on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, you will get entered to win one of many prizes, and you can just feel good about yourself because you are helping solve Wisconsin's significant blood shortage. So that's Civic Pints, and go to the website, check it out, civicmedia.us/giveblood. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news, and when we come back, we're going to dive into the Jonah Hill of it all, because I don't know if for the very not online people, you may have just avoided this topic altogether because it's a little bit of celebrity gossip, which we don't usually do, but I can't not.
There's a deeper meaning to what's going
on. There is. Yeah. And I have feelings about it. So, yeah. And it's my show, so we're going to talk about it. This is As Goes
Power.
And we'll be back after the news.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR.